That's creepy.
Okay. What is up, hey insiders? I'm pretty pumped for this one. Usually pumped always, but we have a lot of ground to cover for this cast. Joining me is QS writer Chris Martin. What is up, Chris?
What's going on, Chaz?
Former QS writer and all-around lovable insider around the Discord, Stu Summers. I got it?
Summers. It's summer.
Yeah! I'm on it. All right. What's up, Stu? Thanks for joining us tonight.
Not much. Just had a fun day reading Twitter and
looking
at all the calm reactions everybody had. Everybody was so calm and collected.
Who?
Everybody was so calm and collected today on the internet. It was great.
So calm. Listen, there has just been a whirlwind of stuff. Before we get into it very, very briefly, because we are going to talk about the Mythic Champ 2. It's good to have you on about that, Stu, because that's kind of all dealing with the Mulligan rule and everything like that. But we wanted to briefly talk about it. Folks, I set time aside to cover this. I apologize for the late kind of heads up on there won't be any, QS official coverage. I thought maybe, you all would be notified about this because, once I knew, I kind of just allocated my time elsewhere for my class. Finals just kind of hit all at the same time. But, I did have the time set aside. I apologize for the poor communication, at least on my part. But hopefully, I was hoping that, it would have been resolved. But hoping it gets taken care of in a better fashion in the future because, you all are, should get that coverage. Apologies for that. Thanks so much for the folks that did post in the channel did follow along with it at least as real time as we could have, obviously without a floor reporter. But thank you for that and apologies and we'll try to do a better job going forward. Kind of sucked. But that being said, so the Mythic Edition War of the Spark dropped today, and it was calling it crazy would be an understatement. I mean, it didn't quite rival the first release. That one was an absolute dumpster fire, but it was definitely up there. And as always, I try not to, I pump the Discord when I can. I try not to be like overly, shilly about it, but. I really do appreciate y'all for the appreciation and the kind words that y'all had for today that followed along and appreciated what the team did in Discord and what this Discord's about. I mean, just reaffirms that this is the place to be. So what did you think? What we're already seeing some reports on pricing. These are selling like wildfire. In the $500 range, it sold out. So what happened was there was that first wave. Everyone kind of thought everything was normal. It sold out within 5 minutes, or around 5 minutes, just about around that time. And they, once they said 12,000, that's it. It's gone. What we have learned is they like relisted it. A lot of the orders got canceled. The counter kept going up well past 12,000. But we did explain in the Discord, a lot of us very tech savvy, and we alluded to the fact that, this listing, the counter did not get reset, that everything seemed on the up and up in the HTML coding, that there is indeed 12,000. How they kind of navigate, I guess is a good way to put this, how they kind of navigate their way through the orders. We'll see how that goes, but if it is still sitting in your purchase history, if you got feedback, those are kind of the necessary steps. I know, Chris, you got like tracking already, so you should be locked in at that point.
Yeah, I actually got tracking notification really fast. I did two orders, one through my wife, one on my end, and hers got canceled. Mine actually went through. It was actually instant. It was kind of funny because came back into the Discord and everyone was posting these cancellations. I was like, maybe I just got lucky. I guess I did get lucky, clearly. I've actually already got tracking. So my guess is I somehow got in on like the first wave. And I don't know. It seemed like eBay or not eBay, but well, I guess it was eBay. Whoever manages all that technology for them must have been able to catch all these invalid orders and basically relist the items that were getting canceled right away. So
yeah, we're getting additional numbers here. These are like fires of people are scooping these up quickly in the $500 range. Like as soon as they're posted, they're pretty much gone. We're pretty much nearing 600 at this point.
Yep.
Where do you feel like this settles? Because I'm thinking like anywhere in between the $600 to $800 range.
So I've tracked Mythic Editions really closely, both the GRN and the Ravnica Allegiance one. And it seems like within 3 months, they get their first kind of post supply absorbed rise in their floor or in their price point. So my guess is that I think 600, somewhere in that range, 600 to 700. I don't think it'll get to 700, but I think somewhere in that range, as people get their boxes, it could potentially, you know, kind of hold a $600 floor. It just depends on how many people actually will list these. I think there's actual real demand for people actually wanting to like get their own, crack them, and actually, you know, play with them and keep them. So I suspect 600 early. I think that this kind of this chaos of cancel, reorder. I have a feeling that's going to only add to that price point, because I suspect people that actually wanted these, who ordered and thought they were fine, canceled, may have not been in the Discord like we all were, and didn't know that they got reposted, and thus didn't get their order. And now they're coming back and like, wait a second, I never got charged. I never got my PayPal notification, whatever. And so they didn't get one at all. And so that's going to immediately take some of these boxes right back off the market, because they're going to go out and probably want to buy at least singles, if not potentially a sealed box at $550 or whatever the price that they can get.
That was almost me, by the way.
So,
I think the price point's a lot higher. I just did fast math on the singles. And right now, the 8 singles are selling for $770.
Crazy.
I think these, and like you also have $50 in packs. So like this is pushing this thing above 800, a little bit of work. So I think this thing's going to trend a lot higher than just 650.
I totally agree with that too. I mentioned within the first, like, I think the first couple weeks as people sell these off, it'll hold that 600 area, maybe 650, something like that. But I think it very quickly, probably faster than Guilds of Ravnica even, is going to jump, you know, 20%, 30%, 50% and go up into that 800 threshold.
Yeah, I said 650 to 800. I split the difference at 700. I kind of feel it would be stable there for at least a little while. But, I am with Stu that I think it can start hitting that upper echelon, because you are right. And this was actually an interesting point that I wanted to say too. Do you think it actually is more lucrative? I don't know off the top of my head, but it feels like this particular Mythic Edition released alongside the set.
Yeah.
Not after, right? The others Ravnica released Allegiance, after the set?
Ravnica Allegiance released at the same time as this one. You were able to get your boxes with... It might have been like 2 days after the set. You're actually right, because I think I got my boxes within the same week as when they went live. So it was 2 weeks after pre-release, roughly. I think I have a feeling where you're going with this.
This is where I'm going with this is that, you know, we've been talking about War of the Spark. It just seems like all of these different cards, no one really knows like exactly what is going to be good in the set. Like there's a little bit, you know, going this direction. A lot of the value is shifting in this direction. I mean, these packs are actually, you know, you could obviously turn around and sell loose packs. I mean, it might be a little tough, but I'm sure they would sell. But there's actually some real tangible value to opening these up, and also, you know, having another like $100 worth of value in them, you know, easily. Kind of like the original Ravnica, where, you know, appreciate you, Stu. I opened 2 Arclight Phoenixes in the pack. So that was like another $60 just from the packs.
I did the same with Ravnica Allegiance, and I had 4 boxes of it. I opened 4 Hydroid Crasis or whatever they're called.
Yeah, so that, so, I mean,
I am just real boring. We just drafted the packs. Holy cow. You guys just
no. But what I'm saying is that it's actually even if there wasn't like these $30 rares that you're hoping to get, I think it's better that there's kind of more of an even distribution of value, because you're less susceptible to open, you know, garbage. So you can probably get like a solid, I don't know, maybe what, $80 from your packs?
Yeah. Yeah, that's about right. Especially something if you like open that. And then flip. Like if you open them and put them to a buy list or sell them right away while the supply is still coming online for War of the Spark, you're going to be able to net. Yeah, I would say 80 is probably a fairly reasonable number.
You know, everything seems to have value and is buy listable.
Right.
And if you're that keen on waiting for like a first kind of big event, because there's SCG literally this weekend, that might, you know, set the pace at least somewhat. You know, one of these mythics or one of these rares could just like take off.
Definitely. Well, and then or there's multiple, a ton of great. The other thing that's actually nice, it was kind of like this with Ravnica Allegiance. I think War of the Spark is even stronger, is the uncommons. The uncommons are really, really good. So you could open a $3 bill with the Ashiok, Dream Render or whatever. I mean, that alone is going to buoy your floor on these boxes as well. So,
yeah.
I'm going to say this when it comes to selling these Mythic Edition cards. Do it to Facebook groups. It's so easy. It's so fast. You don't have to deal with TCG player, the fees, or constantly making sure they're low. It's just, I think the Facebook groups are how you're going to want to sell these cards.
Yeah, I normally tend to lean to that too, just because, you know, you don't have to deal with any nonsense. And as long as you kind of like get some sort of tracking, or if you like try to make it worth your while in terms of, you know, selling a single. Or the single cards, at least for me, because we did talk about on the Discord, there has seemed to be sort of an increase on, like, you know, maybe it's just empirical because, you know, we're in the group, but there's like what, like 100 to, you know, at least 100 plus people on here a day. So I don't know, like a lot of people are getting claims. So, you don't want to ship out like a $25 card and then just, you know, get some quote unquote lost.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, every card's over $40 at the moment. So, or no, I guess Sarkin's 30, whatever. But like, you just tell your buyer, hey, ship me $3 for shipping and handling and tracking, and like,
just do that. Yeah, I'm totally with it on those. If you could do it, and you can, it's obviously the best.
I just wrote an article about sales tax. I didn't even think about covering this, but you know, the other nice thing is, obviously, you got to pay your taxes, but you get around sales tax if you're doing that, because you're not really.
Yeah,
unless you're a store, obviously you can't. But if you're just
I would still pay some tax on this stuff, because some days IRS is hey, we're gonna do some auditing.
Yeah, that's of fair. Course.
Always pay your taxes.
I'm thinking if you're in that small, you know, you're only selling these, for example, and that's
small enough.
You're,
yeah,
you're probably okay. But yeah, I probably should say that again. Pay your taxes, everyone. Anyway,
I think that's a pretty good segue. But no, you know, folks, you know, we'll try to keep on top of this, and we'll try to like monitor this as this goes. But these are selling like wildfire. There were multiple chances. I don't know if it kind of seemed like they did this on purpose. If not, like, then it was a complete fluke that this ended up working out, that you know, you didn't just get completely destroyed by bots by having these like multiple relistings. So you had a couple really good shots in there to get it. We tried to post it as they went live in the Discord. And that's just the thing. Like, you know, sometimes it's not always, you know, people are so we talked about this actually in the Discord the other day about like the, you know, players and their this kind of increased mentality of value. You know, the value of this is exactly like you said, Chris, for those, you know, that also in the Discord, as you know, they're players too, where, you know, they just wanted to buy this for themselves and they may have missed a chance because, you know, it may have just happened to me today because I ordered, it got canceled. I was like, well, you know, I guess it is what it is. Maybe it'll work itself out. Maybe it won't, because, you know, very similar things happened the first go around. Maybe, you know, I'll contact, you know, whomever and it'll get resolved. Maybe I'll get one. You know, people are here for that too. And I went downstairs, I was in the lobby, I looked at my phone, you know, I was letting someone in, and I saw that someone relisted. Ran back upstairs, like ran up, went in the elevator, ran down the hallway, ran back inside, and was able to get one. So it really is about creating the opportunities, not just to like, oh, everyone's just going to go resell this. You know, some folks just wanted to buy this exactly like you said, Chris, for themselves. And I think we afforded those opportunities as they popped up in real time.
So question, of the 12,000, assuming there's just 12,000, what percent is going to be opened? And then what percent is going to get thrown into a closet? And then what percent is going to be available
in the market within,
say, 6 months of today?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Yeah, I think.
So look at we do have a very mild amount of data to look at here, right? Guilds of Ravnica is clearly the next, like the runner up in terms of popularity, simply because obviously Teferi kind of buoyed that one along with Liliana, and this one will most likely, from a player standpoint, be the most popular. The Ujin and Jace combo is, that's like just an absolute amazing combo of two premier characters and premier cards to be ever printed. I think Guilds of Ravnica, if I look back to my, I had been tracking kind of like the sales volume on the sealed for Guilds of Ravnica Mythic Edition and Ravnica Allegiance Mythic Edition, and just like how many sellers were out there every week from the time it was released. Guilds in the middle of January spiked up from, it was trending around 500 for a while, and it spiked up to about 600. It basically everything below $600 was cleaned out. And now if you go and you look at TCG Player right now and look for sales listings on Guilds of Ravnica Mythic Edition, the sealed box, last I saw there were three, and I believe I'm one of them actually. So the point being there is, it released in October, so it's been 8 months at this point, or no, sorry, 7 months at this point, roughly, give or take. But remember, the supply kept coming online with each passing Pro Tour. So my guess is a lot of these are going to be opened. I just pulled it up. There's actually five boxes out there right now. Cheapest copy for Guilds of Ravnica is $700. Cheapest sealed box, I should say. $700 on TCG Player. Six boxes total. 1% has two listed. So you have to assume, even if it just follows that pattern by, call it like Christmas time, maybe even sooner than that, there'll be hardly any of these in terms of sealed available for purchase. They're going to be very hard to find very quickly.
Yeah, look, and if you want to look, we do actually have some data. And to add to that, Chris, like if you want to look at that, that was Guild's Ravnica edition, the very first one,
yes,
where you know, we didn't know if there would be any more, or you know, whatever. It was the brand new product. People didn't know. They said it was going to be limited. I think the added pressure of it was on the Hasbro toy shop, and like that got messed up, and the only other place you can get it was a GP, and if there wasn't a GP or near you, then you really couldn't get it.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of kind of things.
12 asterisks. There's like 12 asterisks that need to go next to that one.
Yeah, there were definitely some X factors there. If you really want to look at the most like organic demand for one of these sets, look at Ravnica Allegiance. That was the most streamlined release. But, you know, still, like, any product for a Magic player, whether they're casual, whether they're a player, whether it's for us, you know, the contents and the actual overall, I guess, feeling of hype around a product, everything has to line up still, right? So, you know, Ravnica Allegiance wasn't bad per se. There was definitely some cards that did take off after the fact, you know, Kaya being one of them, you know, just to note that. But I do kind of feel like after time, all of these will end up being kind of that, you know, kind of take off in the sense that you can't even buy Ravnica Allegiance, the Mythic Edition Ravnica Allegiance anymore. You know, they don't have those up. So whatever's out there in circulation, that's it. Because they're not, they didn't start making second waves of those either, and they didn't plan on it. So I think if you want like true organic demand, you look at Ravnica Allegiance, because if it's still selling, I'll bet even at a lower pace, then, you know, like people are still kind of buying this because they just want it, right? I think the 50% opened might be good. I might go a little under there. And I think whoever's fire selling like within this next week was obviously completely only in it to, especially today, in it to resell it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
those are gone. So
that's the metric that we don't know how many people were out there. How many speculators were getting in on this, just knowing that it was quote unquote free money. Right. I mean, that's because as fast as it appeared to have sold out, I would assume that the speculation had to have been the speculators, I should say, had to have been at least, you know, figure 20% of the demand, maybe, you know, somewhere in there. And I would think that a lot of the other people that bought it were people that, even if you're not a speculator, you look at that and you say, 250, hold on a second, I can go out and get one Jace and one Ujin for the same price as this entire box. That's like a no-brainer at the end of the day. You don't have to be a speculator or MTG financer, quote unquote, to realize the value of this set. So
yeah, I mean, I agree, and especially because they let it be known early that there was going to be a cap on the supply of this as well. So we'll keep monitoring that. That was a great question, Sue. What do you actually think? What are your percentages?
So I'm trying to think out of the three,
reselling, opening, and for throwing it in a closet.
So I think reselling, just based on like what we're seeing already, I would not be surprised if like 50-60% is like,
yeah, on this instantly. One for sure. Yeah.
Like, and then like the keeping and like opening is probably like another 25% probably. And then however math works, the leftover is getting thrown into the closet. It's like, I'm going to throw mine in the closet until this thing says like,
yeah,
$1,000 or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'll be doing.
Yeah, too. I mean, I'm still sitting on my Ravnica Allegiance. I think eventually all of them will inevitably. I mean, look at Ravnica, Guilds of Ravnica. I mean,
like I'm at the point where I hate sitting on things. I just hate it.
I do too. I do money too.
Going. But like these ones, it seem like in a closet.
Yeah, I have nothing to lose. Whatever. Here. Literally nothing to lose.
Yeah,
these are going to end up. I mean, put yourself in your shoe in your shoes 5 years from now, and you're looking in your closet. I mean, these are the type of thing you're going to look in there and be like, "Holy cow, God, I had these!" And you'll look around and you'll be one of, you know, a couple hundred people to have a sealed box of this stuff.
Like, oh, there's a new car,
right? I mean, there's not going to be. I don't know about a new car, but I mean, these things should, their trajectory should just kind of be a long term. Up and to the right type of trajectory, I would think. So
wait, where are we? We're 2024 in 5 years. All right, so like a 2012 or 2022.
Can we just bookmark this and just save that for, you know, 5 years? We'll check back and say, can I get a new car off my
it would have to be all three of them. Oh, I would think, God. You would have to
least
have one.
I said least, not by.
I'm adding this to my Google Calendar. I have something in there to remind Verscott about. In like 5 days, I don't remember what it was, but we're gonna bring it up. So this will also get added to that. We're in 5 years. Like Chris and Chad says, new car. Let's go.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, there is no wrong play here. I mean, even, you know, I sold my Guilds of Ravnica stuff. I mean, I think even I was talking to you when those came out, Stu, like to kind of see where you were at on those as well. I remember having a conversation, and I sold mine like pretty instantly for like, I don't know, it was like $450. Something around that.
Yeah, I think I came close.
And to I was good with it. I was like, yep, I'm good with this. Bye.
Yeah, and they were also so after. Good. And people were just like, oh, these suck. I'm like, I made my $300 and called it a day. I don't know what you people are trying to do, but they've all been all good. And like the trick, also the thing is like, who knows the next time we're going to get these? I think these were just kind of a Ravnica block type of deal. And I don't think
that's what it feels like. Yeah.
I have a hard time seeing like any kind of like anything for the next like fall set. Like they just probably don't need to.
Right.
Yeah.
They didn't need to for these sets either. It was just kind of cool.
I hope that these are not. I hope the fall set doesn't have another mythic edition. Yeah, kind of like they did with the expeditions. You know, make it.
Yeah. This was definitely like a divergent of that. But I don't even feel like if they do. Someone brought it up in the chat. Actually, it was actually a really good point or question about, do you think that they'll do something else with this? I feel like this Planeswalker stuff was tailor-made for this. I don't like. Would we be that excited for like 8 artifacts? Like,
right? No, you're right.
I don't really know
the artifacts.
I guess, but I still don't know. Like, if I would be that excited for it?
Yeah, with the whole story.
Everybody loves Ethervile. The moment Ethervile appears in anything,
yeah, I know. Like, but how many times can you reprint Crucible Worlds, Christ.
The thing
that one we don't care about.
Like, you know, like, what the hell?
Ender Vial is still $35, and how many times has it been reprinted?
I know, but, like, you know, I get it, but still, even the worst Planeswalker's like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. Like, I can kind of play as, like, oh, another Crucible. I'll toss this in, like, the...
I think the interesting thing
of,
like, is...
seven of these.
One thing also just to that same point is we've already gotten artifacts. We got them in the inventions. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And so Planeswalkers had never really gotten this treatment before. You know, there's obviously a handful of promos here and there, but I'm thinking of the Ugin one from Fate, what was it called? Something Reforged.
Fate Reforged, yeah.
Yeah.
Like some random promo.
That was like a promo for him. But in general, the Planeswalkers as a whole have never received this treatment. And I think from the casual and maybe even the collector perspective, especially like the people who like the storyline and the lore behind it, these are just absolutely a shoe-in for those type of people. That's why I'm hoping they don't do more of these. I hope this was that they come up with a different thing in the future, because it will, if they do one in the fall, a mythic edition, even if it's not Planeswalkers, let's say it's artifacts or lands or whatever, even if they do it, it's going to detract from these, right? When you think about a collectability standpoint, which is, I think, a really important aspect of the game, is you know, the health of Magic. These appeal to the collector the most. The collector and the players who are collectors by, you know, kind of by trade, where they build their decks and kind of foil them out or quote unquote bling them out, right? And that becomes their collection, right? I have one of those. I have an EDH deck that I've been just kind of slowly upgrading throughout my lifetime of playing Magic, and anyway, I guarantee that if they make another one of these, it will detract from these, because it'll start to feel just like baseball cards. Look at what happened with those. Yeah. It's going to take away from that niche collectability aspect.
I feel like they will take a break from it, though.
I mean, they'll take a break from it. I don't think, like, there is a market for the high end stuff. Like, somebody was talking about the Panini $1,500 boxes of baseball cards, and like those come out every year, and it doesn't take away from it because it's like kind of an event. Like, people like get real excited about it, like, oh, the Paninis are out, we're gonna have, you know, this $1,500, this is awesome. And honestly, they make it kind of like an event type thing. Like, I don't think it would detract very much, but at the same time, I kind of don't want them to. I kind of want them to explore new avenues and see what other cool things they can come up with. I mean, I like them doing these things, I just want to see more cool new things. And that being said, clearly, the next one is Enchant Worlds. We've had not any special things for Enchant Worlds, and we're due.
Agreed. Now, one last point. So now that all of these are presumably kind of this three set of Mythic Edition, do you now feel that there could be more down or more pressure on the other two sets? Because now they're like kind of all released. We talked about that collectability. Do you feel that Ravnica, the first, what was it, Ravnica, Guilds of Ravnica, was it? The first Mythic Edition, now Ravnica Allegiance, and this, does this kind of spark some increased spending in the other two?
Maybe not right now, because people are going to be spending all their money in the newer ones.
Got it.
I think over time you're going to see them all trend upwards, because, like, more people are playing Magic. Magic's not dying. And the fact that there's...
No, it's definitely not dying.
Yeah. The fact that people, you know, eventually, like, oh, yeah, these brand new players aren't going to want it. But is the generation of players, like, two back, they're going to start wanting these now and start moving their collection. I mean, I have people at my store. I've been watching them over the past, like, year and a half just slowly pick up, like, cool rare cards to upgrade their decks or commander decks and everything. And, like, it does happen. They do just come and start picking things up over time. Eventually, everything runs out of, you know, inventory.
All right. Great, great takes. Good input. Let's move on to, let's see what on my notepad. All right. Chris, you wanted to cover this too. We didn't really honestly get the chance to talk about this yet, which is kind of crazy because it feels like this has been out for a while now. But we did not get to talk about the alternate art Japanese Planeswalkers that will be released for War of the Spark. So this is an entirely different release through the Japanese product that will they'll have entirely different alternate art takes on all of the War of the Spark Planeswalkers, from uncommon all the way through mythic. These are in Japanese product only. And they are in what, one out of like every
for now. For now is the only Japanese product.
Yeah, for now. For now. Right. We'll get into that second part there because they're in this like I guess the like best way to describe them are those like
the prize packs for 2020.
The prize packs, yeah, the prize packs. What are these? Like one in every six packs or something?
Four.
No. Those are for the prize packs.
What are I think they're like expecting in one and two. It was like 18, roughly 18 a box or something like that. Or
18 a box for these?
Maybe 15 a box. Yeah, it wasn't the.
I thought it was a lot less than that.
I thought it was less too.
I'm almost. I'll take a look at it. I'm almost positive. I read that the expectation was about 15 or 18 a box somewhere.
50% will be alternate art.
All right.
Okay.
Dude, so these are so cool. I'm so glad they did this.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. It also kind of sucks because, you know, for everyone going in on like pre-orders and everything else and all this other stuff and then like release it after the fact, that was kind of sucky, but...
All right. I have to give my perspective on this as somebody involved with a store and everything. People are like, there have been some posts about people saying their orders are being canceled and everything, and we didn't see any of that because essentially before this set... All right, so actually, let's go back a little bit. Back before, I want to say, like, Ixalan or Dominaria, you could order as much foreign product as you wanted as a store in the U.S. And then around Dominaria time, they're just like, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. We are going to say you can only get English in America to, you know, save some costs. It probably wasn't very popular, you know, on the overall grand scheme of things. So then, you know, from Dominaria up until now, we could only get English product. And that's all anybody really considered. And now, yeah, we got the option to get Japanese boxes, and most people were just like, all right, whatever. Some of us will get it, some of us won't. It doesn't really matter. And then they announced it afterwards, whereas it was kind of like this bonus thing that if you happen to pick up one of the boxes, like it's not real. It's weird to say, like, it doesn't make me feel particularly bad about it because it's a luxury item for the game. Like, you don't need these. And then the people who are kind of crazy about them, it's just like, I don't know. I feel like as Americans, the majority of us are Americans, that like we get the majority of benefits on everything. Like,
I'll agree.
We get more events. Not disagreeing. Our product is infinitely cheaper than what anybody else in the world has to pay. Yeah. Look what we had to pay for the mythic editions. We didn't have to pay the extra import taxes or anything like that.
They got killed like, on that, man.
Right. So for the Japanese market to get something cool like this, as a little bit of notice, where we already get all these other cool things, it just really rubs me the wrong way when people are just like, oh, Wizards messes. Like, one of my employees at the store freaked out at me going, will you stop shilling for this company? I'm like, dude, we have packs for $3.99 where South America and Japan are paying $7 a pack or whatever. Like,
it just doesn't. It's nuts. It's one of those things where I want to be happy to about it. I love the fact that there's so many more of these different takes on products, because there is, I do want there to be, you know, kind of something for every kind of player, everyone, you know, all this stuff kind of is represented. That's all fine and everything. I just don't like just tell us that this is going to be happening alongside, like when you're announcing everything else. That was all I was saying.
I guess it just makes things so much more crazy though.
It just kind of sucks. Yeah, you're right. And then, that being said, going off the point that I made that this could be, you know, there's something out there for everyone. I may personally not like all of the alternate art. There are some that are definitely really awesome. Some don't appeal to me as much. Some those same cards may appeal to others. So, yeah, I mean, if this is something that you're definitely into, go for it. They're not going to be there's not going to be a ton of them out there, especially pack foils, specifically pack foils. So this is going to be somewhat of a luxury product too.
Oh, that's the thing. This is the type of product that like I will never ever use these playing with. I will never put these in my tournament deck. Like, it just isn't for me. However, I still love that they're doing this. I love doing this.
I think it's interesting because I suspect in the U.S. that these are going to become very like collectible because they might have a the perception is going to be that it's, especially the foils, that's going to be harder to get them. I think it's phenomenal. I mean, I really do. I think that these are such a great addition. Japan is one of many markets that I think has just tremendous opportunity to grow Magic. You know, it's already a very popular game already. And I think the coolest part about this is how they, how Wizards approached it, which was they took, I think it's for all, keep me honest on this, but for every individual Planeswalker, all 36 of them had a different artist, a different, I think, anime or yes. Japanese artist do the yes. work, which is why,
that's right.
which is why the flavor of the art is, some people really like some of the art. Like, for example, one of my really good friends thinks the Bolas art is amazing. I don't. I think the Bolas art is not as good. But that's why it was so cool, is because when you have 36 different people do 36 different art pieces of art, and then you put it out there, they're not going to be necessarily kind of consistent. And that's the best part, right? There's a flavor for each of these cards that was taken from these artists, and they're going to be very appealing. Probably, especially, I would assume, I don't know this for a fact, but I would assume very appealing, especially in the Japanese market, but also to folks here. We kind of saw the anime thing influence on the Ravnica Allegiance Mythic Editions. If you remember, there were a few of those. There were a yep. few of those that had a little bit, like a little bit of flavor there. Not, it wasn't like clear anime, but it started to hinge on a more colorful palette. And now we're getting this, and it's great. I mean, I think it's great. I think it really expands the horizons of the way that these cards can speak to people, which is probably the most, one of the most important things. Outside of the actual playing the game.
Here's what I wish they had done. I wish they just would not have told us. Like they did, like, back of plane shift.
That would have been interesting.
I don't know if that was the correct move, but yeah.
Like, when those Alternate Art Pros came out, and you just, like, people just got surprised and found them, I think, like, stuff like you just don't tell them, and you just, like, start finding them, I think those would be that'd be so cool. Like it just
kind of like how the box toppers, where people started getting box toppers from the Guilds of Ravnica issue, right. and then there was just a mass. I mean, the marketing, the social media marketing and stuff was free. It was free marketing for them. It was amazing. It was great.
I love stuff like that where you're just like, I don't know if the priceless treasures for Zendikar was advertised ahead of time, or people started finding them. Like
they didn't say anything about that.
Yeah, like you just finding that weird stuff in those boxes. Is so cool. I mean, I remember opening up a All Foil Prophecy pack, which like wasn't supposed to happen, but at the same time, like when that stuff happens, it's so cool.
Yeah.
And I think it's like, think of the news. Think of just a random article in Kotaku who's just like, Japanese booster boxes, people are finding anything. Like that's such positive like marketing.
It's cool.
Instead, I mean, this way was still cool. It's just Magic players find a way to complain and they end up complaining, but it's still so cool.
Yeah.
For anyone who's been to an actual event, whether so I'm going to speak specifically about Gen Con. I went to my first Gen Con last year. But for anyone who's been to an event and has interacted with the judges and really anyone around the game at that level, you can tell that the creativity from Wizards blossoms all the way out to you know, the individuals who are actually hired to run these events and things like that. And when we were at Gen Con, it was last year, obviously they were celebrating the 25th year anniversary. So there was a ton of like just special side events that were happening. And one of those side events was they had chaos drafts you could sign up for. And all of a sudden, just randomly on like a Saturday, on the Saturday afternoon chaos draft at 4 o'clock, they busted out Legends. And like, I forget what other, it was like a Legends pack, and they might've thrown maybe an Arabian Nights pack or something like that into the chaos draft. And it just, the amount of hype that created and just like the excitement, it was awesome. It was, so things like that, to your love point, Stu, are just fantastic. I think
love it. Let's cut it down to brass tacks though. What kind of implications does this have? I mean, like I said, these will be redistributed in the showdown / prize packs. I believe we have those numbers. Those are 1 and 4, but they replace either a mythic or a rare, or a promo mythic or a rare. So I don't know if pack foils specifically are on the table for that.
I have been told from distributors that right now I was only able to get like 1 or 2 boxes total. Okay. But I think it's going to still be readily available for the lifespan of
the print run.
So yep.
Don't think these will be super lucrative. I mean, I think they have a long-term appeal, but yeah, I was leaning towards that too. Not right now.
Like if
but
I can
pack foils, I mean, sky's the limit on
if
that.
If I can only get a box or two of Japanese product every other week or every week, then that's not going to be a ton in the system in general. But I think the short term, it's going to be popular. I think in the middle term, it'll die down. And then post rotation, they'll probably pick back up again.
I think that's, I agree with that. I had heard, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but I had heard that in the Japanese market, it will be print to demand. So I guess part of the question on how much supply will be out there is how much war product is right. going to be open in Japan. And then obviously how much of that makes its way here.
Well, that's also very key too, because how much more appealing is this for Japanese players than it is for non-Japanese players, right?
Can't help but wonder if there, this is, you know,
you
this,
know what I'm saying? You know where I'm going?
Yeah. Like here, I almost feel like, to Stu's point about you're not really going to play these. Like if you get a foil Liliana, you're probably going to put that in a hard case and it's
TCG
going into
players.
A safe or something. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Right. Or you're paying for a rent for a month, I guess that's also an option, but in Japan, I suspect that these will have less of that kind of collectible novelty to go with them. I don't know that for sure, but that's
depends
just
the
my
artist.
Hypothesis.
Like I think there's like one of the artists has a lot of work on Final Fantasy. I think he's incredibly popular. Like in Japan.
That's an understatement. That one will be very, very chased.
Yeah, I think it depends a lot on the artist and what they're known for.
That's
yeah,
I agree with that.
That definitely. Willie will be very chased. I mean, I'm not even like Sky is actually the limit on that for Packful.
Yeah,
hell, even the stamp promos will still command a.
Which
a
card
very,
is this?
So that's going to be the Liliana Dreadhorde General.
Okay, yeah.
And still does a lot of the Final Fantasy art. So, you know, for nerd gaming or nerddom, I don't, whatever you want to call it, don't care. But that definitely has some sentimental value in terms of a lot of us, especially for me talking, you know, in this age group, grew up with that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're talking all the way back to the PlayStation 90, yep. You know, early 2000 days, where, you know, that was, you know, that's just something that kind of is held dear in a lot of people's hearts. You're right. I think it does have to, it definitely depends on the card. It depends on the artist. Some will be super high end, some will likely not be.
Yeah. Lily yeah. being mythic with Amano is the artist, and then you know it being one in two yeah. packs or something like that, 50% are all art, but then it's mythic plus a foil, and that multiplier just seems insane. So
yeah. All right, so if you're looking at that, our final verdict is some of these will definitely be lucrative, not all of them will be, but it depends on the specifically the card and the artist. Liliana Dreadhorde General clearly at the top of that list, without a close second, I think. Probably, yeah. You know, you could throw Ugin and Karn in there too, only because of the actual play appeal.
It's probably a good segue into Mythic Championship and some of the MTGO results.
Yeah. So, you know, MTGO results are for the insider only the insider Discord only cast. But we'll talk about the Mythic Champ. So, Stu, we talked a lot about this, about the Mulligan rule. What did you take away from the Mythic Champ 2? Did you get a chance to kind of delve back?
Yeah, I'm looking at the topic. The Mythic Champ,
because I know you kind of were talking a lot, you know, through your various contacts and who you know leading up to the event. So, ultimately, what comes of this?
So, I'm still kind of split 50-50 if they're going to put this into effect or not. I mean, the first takeaway is make sure your sleeves are all perfect before going into the top eight. Too soon. hey, listen, my friend stuck into the top eight and made the finals because of it. Don't be upset. But I mean, as we saw, Tron was the big winner throughout the entire day, which is really good numbers in general. Humans had a really good showing because open decklist, I think, was a big part of it. So I don't think there's anything particularly like actionable off of humans. Is it Phoenix made an appearance because Javier Dominguez is probably one of the five best players in that room. Affinity had a surprising run as too. I didn't really get to see what how Sperling did in limited, but I assume it was, you know, very good as usual. And then a Titan Shift. I think Titan Shift is one of those decks where like it can beat probably anything, but most of the time it doesn't. It's a weird like 45% deck essentially. Where like it's not a deck that you really want to play, but at the same time, like it can get lucky and do its thing. So, but it's also another deck that also probably benefited from the London Mulligan rule as well, because you're looking for very specific payoff cards. Where if you get your deck is mostly ramp, and if you can mulligan to a hand that has a Titan or a Scape Shift, then you're doing pretty good. Yeah. I think going forward, you're starting to see like some combo decks appear that may not be the healthiest for the format. So it kind of has me a little wary of this Mulligan rule being permanently implemented, at least, you know, for the more older formats. I mean, some people were saying that it should be like an arena only thing, and I think that leads to more problems than it solves. And then clearly, like, it can't be like you don't want to have split rules
for different formats. You definitely do not want to have split rules.
Like deck construction
nothing
rules,
nothing would be worse right. than to have new players or any players, like, you know, returning to the game, whatever they haven't, you know, played the game in a while. Fire up Arena, play one way, go to a paper event, and get disqualified.
Right. I think deck construction rules being different is a far different animal than like how to actually play the game rules. And that's kind of the argument people are kind of have, like, oh, we already have, like, don't have these rules that are different. They're just different deck construction rules for your format. So I think it's 50-50. I prefer to lean towards no, because I think the Scry Mulligan rule is basically perfect.
I also have come around and really like the Scry Mulligan rule.
And like, there's, I've seen suggestions on like Twitter where you can like, what was it? You scry X, where X is the number of time you mulligan. So if you scry, you mulligan twice down to 5, you scry 2. And I think that's a better ruling if you want to change it out.
I like that much better than this.
I think the London one just leads to too many potential issues, despite it being kind of cool. And let's be honest, they've gotten really lucky with the naming of these mulligan rules. Like, imagine them being in like Kuala Lumpur or something and having to say that's the mulligan rule. But that's...
You know, yeah, and you know, like, anytime I see Affinity reverting back to like its previous versions, like without hardened scales and the more of like grindy kind of more sustained construction of that deck, definitely gets me concerned too when they can just try to mulligan for the nuts draw and every
oh just, yeah, they're just like, going for that plating, and it's just
yeah,
like,
they're going for it.
And, like, so any Mox Opal hand they have to keep, it's so
absolutely
good.
Yeah. So any time like that, kind of just those little shifts, it definitely is concerning that, you know, so many more decks can just go all in like that.
I think you're
absolutely right, because I think in the long term, because you have to think about this is one of those things where they always preach that they don't want to have to continuously make design decisions about this. I mean, you're absolutely right. And I'm in full agreement that I feel like now, and especially the long term, it's just going to cause more problems than solve.
Right, I agree.
So, that being said, I mean, there will likely be some crazy, like, spikes. I mean, we saw, like, Allosaurus Rider, Chancellor of the Tangle, you know, off the back of some interesting lists coming out of those results. We'll go to those. We'll talk more extensively about that, especially the standard stuff for a flash cast, an insider Discord only cast. So, but, you know, yeah, I'm in full agreement. You know, it could go either way, but I kind of am leaning towards, you know, them going a different direction with it.
Yeah.
That being said, okay, so we, you know, I actually, you know, sometimes I really do love the internet. I know you brought up like the kind of debacle at London, and, you know, I was kind of late to catch on to, like, what are we calling? Wait, memes? What are we calling? Yeah, memes. Memes. You know, some of them are just spot on, and I posted one earlier, like, that's just like the kind of the perfect response to kind of some stuff like that. Like, the, I don't know if any of you saw Moana, like, what can I say except yikes? Like that stuff just gets me so bad because it's so funny, it's so poignant. You know, sorry that really happened. That really, I don't know what happened, but it's bad.
This whole WotC has clearly just like put its foot down with this.
Putting
$10 million into esports and trying to be legitimate. They've just like zero tolerance now for like.
And anything. They should, which is great.
Yeah.
People are going to try it, obviously.
Right. I mean, like, even the Owen thing, they're just like, we're done. We're good.
Yeah. No. Yeah. We're putting all this money in it. If you're messing up, you're out of here.
Right, and I think that's good for the long term health.
I do too.
Of the game too. If they're like taking it this seriously at this point, where it's like, hey, Owen's kind of like their face, and Yuya's their face in Japan. It's like they're like, and we don't even know what's gonna happen with Yuya yet. They haven't done the investigation. He might just get 6 month thing or kicked out of the NPL. Yeah. We just don't know yet on his. I mean, we know the Owen one. He is probably
done. We don't have to go super into it, but yeah. Listen, all I gotta say is, if you're gonna act like trash, you're gonna get taken out like trash. So
I agree.
Don't do it.
It's really easy to be a good person and not be a trash person.
You know, it's not that hard. That being said, I feel like I've said that, but I think we covered a lot of ground, and we're getting towards that time. Chris, was there anything else? Actually, we have a couple quick questions. I'm trying to get through.
Say it 5 times fast.
Yeah, quick questions. Question. All right. Any thoughts on the available capital not being tied up on Mythic Edition will lead to Modern Horizons being more widely opened and sealed, going faster than UMA? That's a great question. Great question. Thank you, insiders. I mean, that every week we get some really, really good one, but that is a very, very good question. I think that there will definitely be increased spending on Modern Horizons. And for the folks that got fortunate to get in on creating some extra capital for themselves from the Mythic Edition, absolutely they're going to roll that into Mythic Edition. If they are trying to do that for a value play, even if you semi-play, are playing a little bit, or you just want to reinvest into it, I do feel like that is the perfect capital from this to kind of just roll right into Modern Horizons.
Yeah, I don't think because of this we're gonna have a ton of.
Not because of it, but it will definitely increase the spending.
Yeah, it'll kind of like a increase of velocity, I guess, is the word I want to say. Because this set's gonna get cracked like crazy. I mean, we already had somebody come into the store previously say, "Hey, I have $1,500. How much can I buy?" And we're just like,
"Of Modern Horizons."
Yeah, I was like, "Nothing yet," because we don't know our allocations, and we'd rather make 50 people happy than like 20 people happy. So like, was it me? No.
You're right. You want to make 50 people happy instead of just that person. That makes sense.
So I just told him to settle down for a little bit. And then, I think it's going to be just so fast at this point, no matter what. And like, when is Modern Horizon?
June 6th, maybe, or something like that.
It's real soon. Like,
it's super soon.
It's really
I'm looking it up right now.
Wow. June
14th.
If you want to go one more level here,
that is right around the corner.
I think that makes War of the Spark have some really good cards in it that we maybe consider picking up, because it's going to go real slow opening that once Modern Horizons comes out. Because you're going to get at least 2 weeks worth of like people drafting and playing Modern Horizons and not War of the Sparks.
That's a good point too. I think it will. I think we're going to see a lot of War of the Spark start to like flare back up once October rolls around and rotation hits, because this is really getting sandwiched pretty hard with Modern Horizons. I mean, do you want to keep drafting War of the Spark, or do you want to save your money and start drafting Modern Horizons, right?
And for the record, I don't find War of the Sparks drafting super fun. It's so grindy.
It's not that impressive. And I do think with Modern Horizons looming, that definitely compresses the amount of time people will be opening this and drafting this. And I think eventually we'll just start to see a little bit of a nice rebound and balloon on this set.
Yeah, this is gonna be a good one.
Stu, it's interesting you mentioned the drafting part with War of the Spark, because people were comparing it in terms of like, oh, it's gonna blow. I was even doing this, admittedly, that it was gonna blow Dominaria's sales out of the water. And I actually with your point there about the drafting, I agree with you. I actually don't know if it will. I'm not sure that it will be like Dominaria, just simply because people might crack a lot of boxes, but I don't know that the drafting is going to be quite as extensive.
Dominaria was really fun.
I think War will do better than Dominaria in sales. However, the number of events that fire off based on it compared to Dominaria, I think, would be less. And like, don't get me wrong, I love a good grindy format. Like, I enjoy just like the sealed was fun, just like grinding through with like these 2-for-1s and just getting your value that way. But at the same time, it just felt like the removal lined up very weirdly on some of the more common creatures. So, and like, not really sure how good Soren's Thirst is, and that's supposed to be like one of the more better removal spells in the format. It just kind of depends. Like, if it ends up being like this weird format, like, it could just go the way of Avans Restored and not be great. And we're coming off a very good limited format too. Like, RNA was so good.
Right.
Does that, okay, one more question, I think. Let me grab it.
Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think it's being a I'm saying, even if it's not a good limited format, I don't think it's going to hurt else in the long run because it's a set full of planeswalkers.
Yeah, that's probably fair. The sealed stuff is going to still move.
Yeah, it's still going to sell out all the time.
Yeah, so we just got an add-on to that question, which is also very, will Mythic Edition profits lead to a quote-unquote second tax season that lifts boats on high-end stuff?
Sure hope so. I got a ton of that stuff laying around. I don't know. It depends if people want to turn it, but if people want to turn it into. And they could, I guess, just turning the extra ones they don't want into
right.
high-end stuff. And like, it's already starting to peak a little bit. You're starting to see some things like creep up slowly. I mean, it's not as fast as last year's, but like, I think there's other underlying issues in the general United States economy that are kind of
keeping people from spending. I totally a lot of agree with you. Yeah, I don't think that the floors, the rising, what is it, rising sea thing is going to happen quite like it did last year. I think maybe in 2020, but this year I think it's going to be a little tighter. The window is going to be more narrow as well.
Yeah, there's been some questionable financial decisions coming out of the government recently, and I think people are kind of a little scared and they're just kind of holding off a little bit on buying, and you're seeing it probably across the board, to be honest.
Yeah, we also talked about this a little bit in general finance back when tax season was really, you know, kind of picking up in February, which is, you know, that a lot of people were really surprised not to get either refunds at all or you know, sizable refunds because they heard, oh, I got a tax cut, right? So that means my refund's going to be higher. And turns out that, you know, their paychecks were higher throughout last year. So without realizing that, there's a lot of people, I think, that were surprised come February, March, April, when the refunds were coming back and they either owed money or instead of $1,000, they only got $500, for example. So
it was, I think, oh my God, it was so bad. I did the math and the amount of extra money I got in my paychecks was actually less than the amount of money that got lopped off my, tax return that I would normally have gotten. So I actually lost like $400 on the year.
My wife and I did as well. Yeah, we were, it was a jaw-dropping surprise, to be perfectly honest. You know,
and I was trying to tell people, I showed them the math and stuff, and they're just like, oh, what do you know? You know math and stuff. I'm like, I'm an accountant. I'm literally an accountant. And I'm telling you, I got shafted for like $400 I would have last year.
Yeah, I didn't get nearly as much as I was anticipating.
Yeah, but like last year, basically every year the refund money comes in, right? And then people, in general, in my experience anyway, is that you get your refund money and you go, one of the things you might go do is treat yourself and go buy a dual land, for example. And that didn't happen this year. I think that aspect of the tax refunds, just using that as an example, I think that's going to, one example, really strong example, that's going to limit kind of the higher end ceiling from happening this year.
Oh yeah, so. It has a 100% tangible effect on Magic too. Like you're it's a luxury good, and people are just like, "Well, I could eat."
That's a good point.
Or yeah. I could buy fuel in.
Right, exactly. So
it's just one of those things where like it's something outside of Magic that's gonna have a huge impact on Magic. And it's also something like, if gas prices just start skyrocketing, that's outside of Magic, but at the same time, that's going to affect Magic.
And they're starting to. They're starting to hit over that $3 threshold now in Chicago area, and we're back at that anyway. So,
yeah, I agree.
All right, wrapping it up, folks. And Chris, Stu, it's been really good. I mean, we've really covered a lot. I mean, awesome questions. Last segment, unless Chris, did you have anything from the, you know, Commander realm as your corner of the skies? Mm-hmm.
Nope.
All right.
All quiet right. On the screen.
Do we have any cards to consider this week from either of you two?
Foil of Narsets, once they start to go down a little bit from set being open. I think that
so
card...
You don't, so because they're sitting at like 12 to 15 bucks right now?
I mean, I think
they
maybe
went
still
up a little bit.
I would still maybe get it. I think like that
you
card...
You get it at 15?
15 is a little high. Maybe like 12 or 10. I just think... So, like, that card has been appearing everywhere that I've seen. Bolas's Citadel has been appearing everywhere that I've seen and looking really good. Yeah. And then Blast Zone is another card where I've been testing Nexus for the MCQ season. And like Blastoise has been overperforming at all points for me. That card is so good in that deck, and I think it's going to be so good in the in like Legacy and Vintage, because it gives those type of decks like an access to something. Like it gives Vintage deck like workshops. It gives them an out to Null Rod now.
What like, is the foil on that right now? $30 around?
Maybe because
yeah, it's about 30.
Because the thing is now is like they can get their Blast Zone up to or two, and then just wait for them to play Null Rod, and you have an out to Null Rod where you just didn't have that out before Vintage. Oh my god, I'm so excited for workshops now.
Yeah.
Yep. Go play a lot of Vintage.
I have them more. I wanted to shift mine towards the Insider Discord only cast. So I'm not going to have any for this week, mostly just because I just got swamped, and I'm not just going to throw out. You know, folks know me. I don't just throw out crap just to throw it out there. And I don't like to just pump random cards just for no reason. Like I like to have some validity and actual like you know backup to some to stuff. So I in lieu of not doing that, I'm not going to choose anything for this week. But I will have some stuff for the insider only cast because I think that's more fair and that's you know folks get their value there too.
Yeah, I don't have any major ones. I would just say one thing. It's kind of the opposite this time around. One card that it's actually the set or series. The finales, I'm kind of avoiding those. I think they're all pretty like overrated. And I have a feeling that most of those are going to trend towards bulk pricing eventually, making them good. I think once they get there, they'll be really interesting pickups for EDH. But in terms of
the red one is really strong.
Was that the finale of Promise? Maybe something
like
that.
The one where you get the cast cards, like it's really good.
Yeah, that's probably a game ender if you can get it off, but. I mean, in general,
you just need to do three mana. I think gets you a plate back. The red one is you get to cast an instant and a sorcery that costs
that's
one.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that's a free. That's an arc plate back right there. Like, I think the red.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. In burn, that's really good. Three mana, you're gonna get a bolt and a.
You just get an opt and a bolt or opt and a faithless looting on this card. It's just oh my god.
Yeah, no, you're right. That one is really good. It shows too, because that one's at $10. I'm just looking at it right now on MTG stocks. It's $10, and the other ones are all a much lower. Actually, Finale of Devastation is still at $10. I guess my point is, I'm avoiding those. I'm going to let the supply on those climb. I think all of them are going to come down, and once they do, I think any one of those could be interesting to look at for you know probably EDH purposes, just because they're anytime you get one of these sets, they usually drop in value, and then the foils tend to. Absorb, especially after rotation.
Recap those cards very quickly.
It's the finale cycle.
Finale cycle.
Basically, I'm suggesting avoid the finale cycle.
Avoid finale
and let
cycle.
The supply come online with those. Yeah. So it's Finale, Devastation, Eternity, Glory, Promise, and Revelation.
I know. Sorry, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Sorry, I was just saying, I think they're gonna continue to kind of go down, and once they hit the floor, they'll be good pickups. So.
Yep, I don't want to go super long. I know we're kind of a little bit over, but you know, at least that's fine. I mean, we had to cover a lot. We still have more to cover, just for our insiders that listen and subscribe. I mean, these go directly to Discord, just so I don't like to, you know, go into that whole diatribe. But you know, these get posted directly to Discord. They don't get released to the public. But really quickly, Chris, I've been seeing Meryn of Clan Nel'Toth continuously increase over the last like 2 weeks. What is the deal with this card? Because it's surpassing where it was before.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so. First of all, it's one of the most popular Golgari commanders there are. The only other one that kind of rivals it would be Gitrog Monster, but they do very, very different things.
Yeah.
So I honestly think that it's just pushing higher and higher because there's no supply. It's Commander 2015. That's its only...
And an anthology.
Which are just...
Which is its only foil.
Right. And those are really small print runs as well combined. So I think that's what it is. I haven't seen any...
Sure. Welcome back.
...demand for it. So
where's the ceiling on this card? Because it continuously pops up. I mean, I think people are buying.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a great No, it's a great question. It hadn't been on my radar, but I'm just looking at the graph now. I mean, you figure if Atraxa was up at 40, this one's got probably even less. Well, yeah, it's probably, it's about the same supply. Atraxa has the two print runs as well. So maybe 30, right? Like, I mean, there, if the supply just keeps absorbing, look at Card Kingdom.
I mean,
Card
Kingdom's actually out. Like the same kind of supply and appeal as Atraxa, right?
I don't think so, but it's a very popular commander. It's
really good.
It's not Atraxa level. Atraxa is the most popular commander, but it's certainly. Yeah. I'm just looking at EDH. It's again on the top 10 commanders. It's always, if you look at their homepage, you go to the top 10 commanders for the week. It seems like Mirren is just almost always in that top 10 list. So
I like your. Really kind of sneakily pick, because you're absolutely right, Stu. Narset Parter of Veils, that's the uncommon from War of the Spark. I saw the same results too. I mean, that card is nuts in Vintage.
I was watching Chubby Rain is his name, and he brews with like all sorts of the new cards. Like, he loves this set, and like first stream he was doing both of Citadel, and like the games would literally end. Like, he just won.
Yeah.
And then he was playing Narset in, like, with the Draw 7 decks, where he played Narset and cast Wheel of Fortune. Well, it's great for you. It's really bad for your opponent because they discard their hand and then can't draw more cards.
Yeah.
So, like,
I mean, foils are definitely interesting. I just don't know. It's an uncommon.
Yeah. But, I mean it's
an uncommon's kind of break that mold for foils.
I think it has, like, $20 upside.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's enough for me to want in at 12. Okay. So I don't think it's going to hit like 30 or 40, but like, I think this one is.
I don't think so either. I mean, it is still Vintage. I mean, it definitely has a following. I don't know.
I mean, Vintage can definitely move prices, and it's just, it's going to probably see it play in Legacy for sure, because it stops Jace's. It stops.
Yeah, that's true. You have a good point.
I think
do you like the non foil of it at all? I mean, there's copies on TCG Player for 70 cents. Is that.
That's way too much.
Well, we're seeing Ashiok at $3. I don't know. Like,
that's why I was asking.
Foils of Ashiok at like 15, 20 in that range, anywhere in between there.
If foil Ashiok is like that, and Narset's falling, I mean, it just depends. I think Narset's good in also all the formats. Like, I would not be surprised to see that thing fall Ashiok.
Outpace Ashiok?
Follow
Ashiok. At
the end of the day, if you told me at some point that Narset was worth more than Ashiok, I probably would not be surprised.
Interesting. All right, I think that's a good place for us to end. Folks, thank you so much. Sorry for the lapse in podcast. Hope this fills that gap. I know we went a little bit longer, but we had some really great content, really good takes. Chris, Stu, thanks so much for giving us your time. That was kind of a longer one. I apologize for that. But, yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah,
I mean, we covered a lot of ground. Still a little bit more to go. I wanted to try and record these back-to-back, but I'll just do the next cast tomorrow, and then just, I'll try to post this as soon as I can. So either tonight or tomorrow morning.
Nice.
Cool.
All right. Folks, thanks so much. That's going to wrap it up for us up tonight. Hell of a, this is crazy. I mean, crazy day, crazy like last few weeks, especially for me with like finals, but also like Magic is just.
Did you pass?
Crazy. No, I give the finals. What are you talking
about?
I
don't know what you do. I assumed you were taking finals.
No, I'm the professor. I don't take. It's actually a really interesting dynamic
what
to
class?
Be like on the other side of this. I teach at a college. I teach computer arts and technology is what they coined it. Yeah.
So did you pass everybody?
You're
the cool teacher?
I did pass everybody, but some didn't, like, I guess, like, I wouldn't call it pass.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right. Thanks, folks. That's going to wrap it up. Take care. We'll see you soon.
Later.
See ya.